Hey, Hound Dogs, I'm David Hankins.
And I'm Paul Hankins.
And welcome to On the Air with Power Squared, a weekly look behind the scenes, what we hope will be everyone's favorite comic book, Power Squared. Today we have a guest.
Yes.
You want to introduce us?
This is Rory Still. Mm-hmm. She is a... would you actually like to tell us about yourself?
Sure. I am a Afrofuturist content creator, and what that is included so far is that graphic novel, and the short story book upon which it's based, where some weird and wild and wonderful things happen in an alternate Philadelphia and an alternate universe that's starting to expand. All done by a benevolent trickster goddess named Flashbang.
All right.
And it's music and other things, to put it mildly. You know, toys, clothes.
Wow. All right.
Scented candles. Well, we did have scented candles. We sold out, so that was good. Tough and tender, Teddy Ninja. All
right. So you two know each other.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We took a class together with Brooks Wachtel at UCLA through the extension program.
Okay.
It was writing animation.
Right. That's good.
Yeah.
I wrote...
Very exciting. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, Paul. I wrote a Tuttenstein script and she wrote an X-Men script.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So we've been having a series of these shows where we've talked to... our artists, we talked to our colorists, we talked to our letterer, and we thought it would be nice to sort of talk to somebody that's actually read some of the books besides us to talk about them a little bit. And since you've actually read them, we thought we'd have you on and, talk a little bit about Power Squared, your reaction to it, if you have any questions about it, that kind of stuff. So.
Okay.
You have any questions? I mean, what'd you think?
It's funny. I realize my brain does something where it like leaps ahead.
Yeah.
It's definitely interesting. I feel it definitely is giving both. Well, I haven't met. I was about to call him by his character, Eli. I'm just gonna call him Eli. I know he has a real name in this reality, Trevor. But I'm curious where it's going to go. I definitely, get the sense of you guys being the protagonist. I definitely, did that with my own, except for I kind of made myself sort of like, for the comic book, a background character, an invisible person, or literally a back cover person. I'm really curious where it's going to go. I was happy. Wait, am I allowed to mention spoilers? Because I was thinking about something very particular.
You've read up through issue 9, right?
I was thinking about something. Well, I was thinking particularly, I'm still reading through just a little bit.
That's fine. Don't worry about it. But I mean, so you can say whatever you want to ask, whatever you want to ask. It's fine.
Okay, cool. No, I was happy when, even though I know it upset Eli, like I was happy when he killed the person who, this is going to sound very harsh and I'm okay with it. Like kidnapped his uncle because the man had to limp from his cell. Like,
what
are you doing out here snatching blood? I love how you married the magical with the science, because I definitely saw that in like She-Ra, and I like how you ended up doing that. So like you got your powers from a magical creature. I won't mention which one it is, but how that changed you guys physiologically, I felt that was like a really nice touch.
Okay. All right. Did you have any? Questions about anything to do with it or
yes, actually I'm curious if you guys I'm curious what issue you want to take this to, and have you considered making this also an animated series?
Yes, we have actually. We took a class at UCLA together on how to pitch TV series, and we've worked a little bit on a pitch deck, and we've written a couple of scripts for it. But we haven't done anything beyond that, because, we don't have any connections with the animation industry.
Yet.
Right now we don't.
Okay.
Because everybody always tells you when you go to pitch, well, you know people. Well, okay, I don't know anybody. I'm not sure how far we're going to take it. Right now we're working on issue 16 with the artist.
Nice.
Yeah. And we have another at least three. Well, that's like a two or three issue arc.
Yeah.
And then we have at least another three-issue arc and at least another one that you're working on. And we have some other ideas. So we'll take it as far as we can, I guess.
Sounds great. I'm definitely looking forward to, animation. In my head, it always leaves the toys. So definitely looking forward to when you guys end up making and collecting your toys from this, too. So, yeah. I actually ran into, and I have to, you know how you are working so hard on a project or a thing that like little things connected kind of get in the back of your head.
Yeah.
Well, I ended up running into one of my people, or one of the folk I'm connected with who had their own Kickstarter that they just put up. Actually, my mentee put up his Kickstarter too. And he's working on a graphic novel, but, one of the guys connected me to a guy in Australia who does action figures. And he did I like the action figure that he did. I have some information I want to share with you guys, if he doesn't mind. That's the short version of the story. he just does them because it pleases him. And the only thing you really pay for is, like, shipping from halfway across the world, which is, it wasn't exactly, like, free, But it's, I think it definitely would be worth it because, like, the way the characters are drawn definitely scream action figure, at least to me.
Whoa, happy it screams at somebody.
I also have an idea, too. I know you asked me for questions. These are not questions. These are statements. But I actually, because I'm interested in, putting my animation up as well, too. Even though I had, you always have secondary plans. There's some people that my person collected that we could pitch to, and I'm gonna hit up my team about it, but I'd like to possibly share that with you too. And that any notes you could share on the pitching class, I'd be happy to hear them. Just get that out in the atmosphere. Let me think. I'm gonna open one of the books. I learned you have it right beside you. So, how did you choose your color scheme? No one can see this, I think. But how did you choose your color scheme, and what made you choose the particular shirt colors, or the things that I don't want to say the boys, but the boys wore.
Thing. Well, I think some of it. We were kind of recreating. I mean, when they were younger, I can talk as the father.
Yeah.
They kind of would go for. Trevor was more would color himself more red, and Paul would color himself more blue. As far as the glasses, they literally would have blue glasses and red glasses when they were kids. That's so cool. We kind of carried that over into the comic book. So it's. Okay. And so that's how we decided on kind of that color scheme.
Yeah.
So when Marty uses a power, it's blue, and when Eli uses a power, it's red.
Oh, that's wonderful, because glasses, when you can't see without them, are superpowers. Yeah.
Well, then when Mocha, who's the yokai that gave him the powers, decided she should be purple, and sort of red and blue together.
Oh, right, because she gave him the powers.
Right.
Actually, I have two questions that came to mind. One, what made you choose Mocha's name? Because the uncle says, coffee. She said, yeah, coffee. Is there a problem with my name? What? And then, what made you choose a kitsune? Oh, I gave it away. What made you choose a kitsune in particular to give them those magical powers?
I think the Mocha name came from wanting I guess something that was line of sight.
Yeah, she doesn't have a, you know, a human form name, and so they ask her. Mm-hmm. So she's looking for something that she could use as a name, and mm-hmm. we just thought, well, what would you see at a college? I think originally we had the meeting at the coffee shop,
mm-hmm.
and so she would see on the board, and she would, you know, I think Cappuccino is an actress mm-hmm. already, so we just started going with Mocha.
I like that.
As for the YA Kitsune, Trevor and I are really into Japanese stuff. Mm-hmm. We're still learning about it, of course, but I think we just picked the Kitsune because we liked it.
Right. And mm-hmm. we sort of came up with this idea while we were all three of us mm-hmm. kind of walking around the block.
Yeah.
And hey, we could do the twins. That was kind of unusual, and they wanted to mix in mm-hmm. sort of a Japanese mythology into it.
Yeah.
And we wanted somebody that could take a human form, and it just I think it's just Kitsune kind of fit the bill.
Yeah.
Okay. I could see that. I think further exploring that, you know, particularly with like a beta reader who's, you know, of that culture, definitely would be like definitely the move. It's funny, I'm going to end up using that later on down the road with Teddy Ninja. I'm finding that really is like, that's, you know, I'm not going to say that suddenly came to be. Now that, you know, that's always been around culturally. It's interesting to see who is talking about it right now, because that also... Well, the nine-tailed fox goes also in Korean mythology, too. And I don't... Hmm. It begins with a G. And that actually showed up last week in Lovecraft Country. That's by, you know, Misha Green and Jordan mm-hmm. Peele. So it's interesting how that's, like you know, starting up here in different American places. Or different... It's interesting how it's starting to appear in different facets, you know.
Yeah.
I wonder if like American guys kind of, you know, help with that a little bit, but I like that she's a fox. When I was little, that was like my favorite animal. Probably, you know, one of the reasons it still honestly is with like, you know, Pokemon. And it's interesting how like if you, you new people, I'm not going to try to refrain from the curse word. So if you make one angry, you know, the fact that it could curse you is problematic. Like the thing you bought this week, we've had this discussion. All your shirts are not going to match forever. Like, I don't care what. That'd be horrible. Yeah, I'm just like, listen, I'm not happy with how you walked me around the block until you do right by me. But yeah, no, it's interesting. That definitely, I like how, and these are all the different comics. look at all you could have.
That's number
right. Make sure you read before you catch up. But buy it anyway. Buy it anyway. It's definitely interesting. I'm trying to think of what else. There is another thing, but let me see. Are we going to see, I don't know if you could tell us this, but are we going to see any more mythological creatures make an appearance? Because I always figure if you have one, there's going to be another.
Actually,
it's funny you should ask,
because that's part of the we did a issue, I guess 15, called How mm-hmm. They Met, which kind of goes back to their origin story, and sort of you see how mm-hmm. she ended up giving them the powers because she was being chased by other mm-hmm. yokai. And then we have the one we're working on now is Mocha and Raven is the title mm-hmm. of the story arc. And Raven is a
Yanagarasu.
There you go.
What's a Yanagarasu?
A Yanagarasu is a bird looks like a crow with three legs.
Ooh! I was just talking about that early in the fall. Continue. This is interesting.
So we're trying to introduce more yokai into the, and then your story idea is.
Yeah, I'm actually working on I'm trying to make it a one shot right now where Marty and Eli face off against Kama Itachi,
mm-hmm.
which are weasels that ride the wind.
Oh, this is going to be good. I like it. I like this. I think I'm low-key wondering if this is a product of, you know, coming up under the original Pokemon that used to be Andre. But I'm totally here for, like, a battle against a, you know, a creature that has any type of power. And then I know that the three-legged crow is supposed to be good luck, right? If I'm remembering correctly.
Well, not in our story. So there's Mocha and this Raven, is what we're calling her, have sort of a history that comes out in the story. And it's not a good history, but
this will be exciting. The cosplays for this will be a lot of fun, especially with the yokai. And say the name of the three-legged raven again.
Yatagarasu.
Yatagarasu. Yeah, no, this, once we are safely able to gather again for these cons, this'll, very excited. Because, you know, like, is this, you know, continues to grow, or you may have seen it already, like, you know, the cosplayers for this are going to be really, really cool. Especially, like, if someone, because I saw, I'm trying to remember, like, the biggest, I've seen people do Transformer costumes where they're, like, built and everything. So it'll be fun to see if someone does, like, a giant raven where they actually do the, well, I don't, I'm really interested in seeing how you guys end up doing this in your story. By the way, is your book online as well? Probably should.
Yeah. Okay. It's on Comixology. We have two print-on-demand services, and we also have it on Kindle.
Okay, excellent, excellent. I definitely need to pick your brain about the Kindle one, because I was like, I wanted to do that for my short story and also for the graphic, but I'm like playing with that idea. Let me see. Are we going to... I feel bad. I'm trying to remember your name. I remember he's the dead, and that is not...
Oh,
is
David?
Not, David, there we go.
I'm bad with names, too.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate that. Very tempted to call you Mr. David because you were somebody's parent, and basically my classmate's parent. But you told me I could call you without the Mr. I'm going to try. You know. But yes, are you represented by Uncle Marty, or is Uncle Marty actually an Uncle Marty in the family?
Uncle Brian?
Uncle Brian.
Actually, Uncle Brian was based on somebody else. They had a teacher that was, you know, independent of schooling, I should say. It wasn't a school teacher, but he...
Private teacher.
Yeah. He taught... Mm-hmm. I was working with Trevor on art and Paul on guitar. Great. And we used to think of him as sort of their fun uncle. And so when we were coming up with who they would live with, we figured, oh, they'd live with their uncle. And so that's who Uncle Brian is based on. And there's, we also threw in, I'm bad with names, of course. He was in Spider-Man and...
Right.
Burn Notice.
Right.
Uncle Ben?
No, he played, he'd been in a lot of the movies from that director.
Bruce Campbell?
Bruce Campbell.
Okay.
Was also sort of used as a reference as well.
Nice. Maybe he'll play him in the...
That'd be great. We'll call him right away.
You never know. I'm just saying, manifestation, mustard seed of faith. If you keep chanting his name, he might pop up, and you know, he's probably happy to get out the house too. Oh, thank God. Let me read that comic book.
Yeah.
So I actually ran across somebody who said, like, if that is kind of where you are pushing, have a, you know, an ash can, if I'm remembering that term correctly.
Yeah,
yes.
Did you guys do that for your series already?
Well, we're kind of, I think kind of issue one is becoming kind of our ash can. We're kind of, you know, that's sort of the introduction. We'll give that away with the idea that you'll want to read more.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we're we're not the artists, obviously. So everything we do, we pay for. So there's not a lot of just stuff to throw away.
No, I feel that.
We had to have our first two issues recolored. So that was there. So they're actually maybe the most expensive ones we've done. But we got some really good feedback early on from somebody at Comixology that kind of helped us sort of find the right people going forward. Okay. So it was a good experience.
Nice.
Yeah.
What made you, decide to get it recolored?
Because he said that was, he looked at it and said that, you know, the story's okay. The art's all right. The lettering needs some improvement. It was the first time Trevor had ever lettered anything. And he said, and you got to redo the coloring. And then we said, well, how do we, you know, we had found the colorist and the artist on a Facebook page. We had gone through the comic creator connection thing at Comic-Con and WonderCon a couple of times and never really could find the right person to link in with. And so we tried this Facebook group and we found the artist and we found the colorist, and it would be like, how do we find another colorist without letting the current colorist know we're replacing them? And so he put us in contact with some professors at SCAD, the Savannah College of Art and Design, and we found the first, the second colorist through them, and then we found the second and third colorist, and then the artist, and we found our current colorist through as a friend of a friend of yours, Julia. So.
SCAD and a friend of a friend. Sounds about right.
And it's been pretty, it was really nice to get kind of that kind of feedback early on.
Yeah.
Know that we're kind of going in the wrong direction with the coloring. And we weren't really happy with it either, because there was whole sections that looked like, you know, they were on the sun basically, or, you know, lava flow in the background. It was all orange and it wasn't really quite what we were going for. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think the current artist, Rachel, the current artist we have is closer to the kind of the image that you had for it.
Yeah.
More of a Western
anime hybrid.
Yeah. So.
Okay. That was going to actually be kind of my next question a little bit. As far as like, how did you decide like with line thickness? Because it's funny, like coming from more of a writer base, you know, being able to do a little something here and there otherwise. But like coming from a writer base, these are like the visual stuff I'm still like, I know for myself, still learning. So that was, you know, how you decided maybe like line thickness for the background, or even how you wanted the background to look, as you kind of said, Western animation.
Yeah. We sort of let the artist kind of, she has the script, and we kind of in the script say, you know, page and panel breakdowns.
Yeah.
And then let her to take a shot at how she wants to do it.
Okay.
And then she actually gives us a couple of we've been through this on a previous show, various two versions. And we say, okay, we like this page from this version and this page and this panel from this. And we kind of let her, and then she'll like throw out something from the script or a panel, or merge things together or break things apart or change the order a little bit. We kind of give her a certain amount of free rein. And then we kind of go through everything, every stage of the process, looking at everything to make sure it's kind of going the way we want. But we kind of, you want to have the artist kind of have their own, you know, pretty loose reins around them, I guess.
No, I definitely feel that. Like, I'm learning. It's funny. I'm learning two things. One, that is when you find somebody good, like, you know, who you're working with, you kind of, you know, let them work their show. And at the same time, I learned a bit of a red flag with another project. If someone's not giving you progress reports, that's a whole problem. You know,
yeah.
So now I know.
Yeah, we kind of had that with the first artist we had. Honestly, there were times where he would just sort of he was Indonesia.
Yeah,
and so we had really no way of contacting him easily, and he would sometimes go weeks without any sort of response or whatever. And so we've been, Rachel's really good about, we do 8 pages a month, mostly out of budget. So she's really good about, working on turning every every month we get 8 pages out of her. Unless there's okay. some, you know, we haven't had an extraordinary event yet that's stopped that.
Yeah.
That's great. That's yeah. really good. So that was going to be my next question. Are you doing like 1 page a week or like, but it's 8 pages a month. I do have another question, but it's, let me see. Do you mind if I ask you some questions about pricing? Because I'd like, I have one question before that question. It's fun. So many questions.
Yeah.
What was I about to ask? I'll go with my money question because, like, the other question just decided to disappear in the back of my brain. It was, you thought you were going to ask me, but I'm a ghost. Pricing-wise, like, what were you guys looking for as far as, like, and then you guys are independents, you know, like me. So, like, what were you looking for as far as, like, your budget about what you wanted to pay per page?
It's about around $100 a page, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that includes, it's a little more than that. And that's one reason we keep the comic books to 20 pages is that it's, you know, it's 2 pages we're saving money on. So instead of 24, it's 20. So we try to, you know, save a little bit that way. But it's roughly about 2,000 plus an issue. Because we pay a little extra for the cover and yeah, that kind of stuff.
Well, that makes sense. Thank you for definitely sharing that. Being somebody who produces stuff as well as it's good to know what's the market honestly is, and then for other independents coming up. So, I know you said you were going to upload this to your YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I definitely will be watching this later. I love my hair. We look amazing as a group. I just also wanted to save one copy too for.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then also I tend to reshare this as well too.
So. Great. Please.
Oh, definitely, definitely. That's a thing. Yep. Support. There yes. we go.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. You asked me some other questions. I'm trying to also think of some really. If you wanted to say other things, please let me know. I know this is a podcast. It's like questions, like Paul looking at that. No, this is what she has a lot. No, yes. just kidding. I like that you asked me to ask questions. I'm like, yes, but yeah, I. We'll actually could come up with other questions, but is there other stuff you wanted to discuss too?
Well, we want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about yourself and your Flashbang and Teddy Ninja, I guess, is very important to you. And so you're working, what you're doing animation with that?
Yes. So what had happened was, I decided to make this into an animation. I guess I don't want to say advancing, or I should say move to the next step with the Flashbang universe, because one, it makes me happy. And two, it's just, I love it for what I grew up with. That was like the progress of the different mediums. Like you had X-Men in the 90s, and then you had the cool little toys. You had all these different things to really experience the story on every single level. With Flashbang, I realized since Teddy Ninja has been my cover person along in the creative process, I realized that he's my flagship character, even though we're going to see everybody else. One really smart thing a friend of mine suggested was Rory, you're thinking about these different episode arcs. Use the stories. I was like, hey, that makes sense. So Teddy Ninja is about a young black man who's vigilant crime fighting, violent particularly. Like, he's not just people who are doing stuff that isn't violent. He'd be more on the helpful side with stuff like that. But right. if it's, you're mugging somebody, he's going to get a little knock in the head. And he is fighting crime with his sister when he is chosen by Flashbang to become her knight in training. And that involves getting turned into a teddy bear, because that itself is like a trial. Like, you're used to being this well-muscled, person who's able to fight and everything, right? And now you're like this little adorable you know, teddy bear. You're used to being fierce, and now you have mittens, you know, so it's a little hard to contend with that. And he has to get everything back in his life, because he gets turned into this teddy bear and stuff just goes to crap. Like, everything, his enemy comes up, you know, his something happens to his sister. So he has to really kind of do what, you know, this goddess is saying, or this huge outer force is saying, to really get his life back, you know, but he doesn't want to do it. And he's going to try to, like, bend his way around this. But, and we kind of see his growth through the story. So,
I noticed that you wrote it as a haiku.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a very interesting choice. What made you decide to do that? Was that just sort of in keeping with the ninja part, or was it
something else? It's funny. Yes and no. Okay. So yes, because yes. And definitely we're using, like, you know, with the ninjutsu, or with him being a ninja, and that particularly coming from Japanese culture, I felt that that went well with it. The flip side of that is also, when I was little, I was, you know, reading above grade level, but, like, just somehow, I think I was in my little art sheet, or they didn't explain it well. No shade on my fourth grade teacher, but, like, syllables was like, okay, I'm reading well, let's move it along, but I wasn't, like, sure how to, so I ended up becoming a teacher later, and that'll screw you up to write a haiku. You need to know what that is. So I ended up teaching them, you know, how to write a haiku, because that, being a poet as well, that, you know, particular form intimidated me, but I was like, you know what? Boom, I'm gonna teach this. Once I taught them that, and some did just great haikus. And this is like, what's that? That was either my second or my fourth grade class. I was like, okay, listen, Rory, you taught it, you do it. So I ended up deciding to write his story through, like, a series of interlinking haikus, for that reason as well, too. I was like, you know what? This is how we're gonna do this. You know, and I've that now has become a favorite form, actually. So I'm using that a lot when I'm writing different things. And then I was a little worried because of the marketing aspect, right? They want one thing or another. But thankfully, somebody ended up getting an award for fusion fiction. So that kind of, like, you know, everybody's victory is your victory, too. We won. Thank God. You know, I'm so happy you paved the way. Thank you very much. But that is particularly why I decided to write that in haiku format. The next thing I am, and I'm just going to lean out of frame slightly, because I have to plug up my little computer, because it's saying you have 10 bars of power. But yeah, so that's why I wrote that. Some of the other stories, like with, I don't know if you guys have seen Beginnings and Endings. That is written more so, I think, in, like, a rhyming, I am back. He's on camera. I wrote that more so in a rhyming couplet. And one thing I'm now pursuing, which you might end up seeing in, like, the second graphic novel, whenever that comes out, might be, what did Lin Manuel Miranda write in or do his thing? I'm trying to remember. It'll come sonnet. So I kind of learned the form for that, and I'm going to go back and keep playing with that. And then that actually might be we might see within the animation that Teddy and some people end up speaking in some haikus. One thing I'm very interested in is actually making it a little Bob's Burgerish and end up making this a musical. So I'm trying to decide if I'm going to make this formulaic, and how the musical is, like, introduced. Do we do it every third one? Or it just might be the theater rule, where, like, if you are so overwhelmed that you can't speak, you start to sing. And if you're so overwhelmed with the singing, you just simply dance. So that might be kind of how we play along with this. Because I really like what Bob's does. He, like, suddenly will break out in a song. I'm like, I am every piece of theater that I had here for this. Sing, Mustache Man, sing. When he had that episode when he was stuck on the toilet, and, like, I love how they do character too, because Louise isn't evil. She is masterful. She's, like, my favorite thing. And the messed up part is she's Bob's favorite child too. And I'm like, I'm glad my parent didn't have a favorite. She's like, you know, love you both. You both can get on my nerves. So we were equally in our heart. And I'm and David, I'm assuming, and by the way, that's my father's name too. I just realized that. But and the brother, and my late cousin. Yeah, very, very popular. Very popular. Yeah. But I'm assuming you didn't have favorites, obviously.
No, I always said I had the middle one. The middle one was my favorite. In Flashbang, you also have different artists doing each story.
Yes.
And so what was that like? I mean, did you choose them for their art style for the story, or was it more... that's who you were working with at the time you were doing that particular story?
It's again, we have a yes and no answer. I definitely chose them for their art styles. Like the person who did the cover, I don't know if you can see me holding this up. You guys are a little blurry, but I can see you. So this is Eric Battle. And Eric, has been like just an amazing person working with me. He does his own stuff. He's worked for either Marvel or DC as well. And like this cover he did, like one reason I really wanted to work with Eric is I knew one of this, was totally blown away by who he was, because he did the covers for the late L.A. Banks, who did the Molly the Vampire Hunter series, which also takes place in Philadelphia, and the Molly in Philadelphia. And I knew how well he did Wings, so that kind of definitely, drew my eye. And he's just, he's just amazing. So I definitely wanted him on that. This is actually done by a young lady who is still in college, and she has done all of this. She's just insanely good. So I definitely picked them for just how good they were. But since each story is different, I wanted to see if I can get a different artist on each, so you could feel that spirit of how each story was different. And yet, I noticed with the color that it's different, in that there's a blending to it. So you're, it's different organs working within the body, but a similar spirit, a little bit. So that definitely what was I was going for. I wanted different people because of the different stories. And also these are, like a lot of these people ended up working on the, the short story book when we decided to end up putting pictures into it.
One thing that I thought was kind of interesting was we had a signing, or a scheduled signing, at Golden Apple, and it got canceled. It was the weekend everybody shut down, and you were scheduled for the weekend after that at the same place, which I thought was kind of interesting how we kind of ended up at the same place. How did you arrange that, I guess would be my question.
I think they agreed to sell the book, and then I went back into it. It's funny, it's like, even though it was a year ago, it seems like three lifetimes ago. I went into them, and I think I just talked to them about that. And I was like, hey, can I do this here? Da-da-da. They're like, we're here for this. So,
They talked to us. And we went in at the end of last year, and they were actually selling some books to them. Right from your collection. And I took along issue number one and said, we do this. And so they were like, and I think they were talking about, would you like us to sell it? And we thought, well, we'll talk to them when we go back for the signing. And of course that never happened. So we haven't really followed up with that. I took a few phone calls and emails to actually arrange it all. And then it just right there, and it got canceled on us. It was kind of a sad day. We're all ready for but I assume that when things open back up, we'll be back in there at some point.
I think they'll be very excited to see us, because everybody got really hit by that. And I was honestly trying to think, because I had, my books in different stores, like, should I call them now? Like, how are we handling this? Are they still open? So I realized, I've been, really dead set for right now on, the animation and developing it and focusing on the script. And, Paul, I've been sending you a few things, and thank you for your help with that. I hope my notes on the Owl House were helpful.
Yes.
Okay. Great. I'm trying to think of, that's the funny thing when, you're working on different stuff. I've learned that, one, it does not please my artistic spirit to just focus on one thing. But you know, one stuff done. So what I do is I focus most of my energy on one major thing, and then I leave other bars of energy, like Super Mario or Street Fighter, to pour some other things as well, too. But the funny part about it is I've learned a thing that just keep building out from, like, what you have. But the golden apple, basically, to come back to your question, that's basically how I arrange my little signing. And like I said, I think they'll be happy to see us, because I know just like every entertainment based, you know, thing, they got hit really hard.
So. Yeah. Yeah. It did. Have you done any conventions? Curious.
Yes. Yes. So wait, did we do a convention with this? Give me one second. I'm trying to hit the memory bar. Let's see if it works. I did conventions with Flashbang in the book, and the conventions of them. So we were on tour with the Flashbang Collective. That's a group of artists who like have helped in different ways, more so on the performing side of things, build out, you know, the Flashbang universe. So we have gone to ECBOC, which is the East Coast Black Age of Comic Books Convention. We have been to Nerdtino, which is, I don't know if it's the largest, but it's like Latino community comic book convention that takes place in Philly. I have to find out if it's the only one too, because if so, then one that need to, I'm basically going to advertise more. So let me see. We did that. We did J1Con, which focuses on anime, which is lit. And video games too. And that takes place in New Jersey now at this really dope hotel. The food was good too, and I don't know if either of you gentlemen are into beer, but the beer I had like at the little hotel was pretty good too. Somebody bought me a birthday beer. That was something. I appreciate it. Let me see, where else have I been? It's been other places too. So what'll happen is like I'm selling at the thing, right? But also we end up doing a performance, which includes like the things from the soundtrack, because I did a soundtrack for the book. Or executive produce the soundtrack. It's also, what else? We do that. There's like, so I hire cosplayers too. Now, the dope thing is you guys don't have to hire them for the twins. You know?
Yeah, I know. They're
for Marty and Eli, I think you know too, who'd be very interested in filling the role. You know, but it could be very interesting to see like somebody who does like your Kitsune or Mocha, like a half between cosplay. That would be so cool. I'm trying to think. So I've done different conventions, both selling and a performance aspect. And then I also did MechaCon, and that was really cool for this reason. It is in Detroit, and it's happening this year. I'm not part of it, but I realize, like you said, or I said, you got to focus on the thing that you're focused most on sometimes, I guess. But that was fun because I think either hotels didn't work for some reason. I stayed even Canada. So that was fun.
Oh.
First visit to, you know, Canada. And yeah, I liked the fact that when I interchanged my money, I got more back. So, great. I felt rich on a small scale, but I felt it. Yeah. I felt it inside. But yeah, so MechaCon, ECBOC, J1Con, Nerdtino, and I know I'm missing something. I said J1Con. But I definitely, but I'm trying to remember who I did the comic book with. Because I had that at something. Oh, and then there's, this is really, really cool. So there is a high school, Phillipsburg Con, that does its own con. And like, this is the best part, guys, right? If you get invited and it is an invitation thing, and I, you know, they've got linked to them through my friend Sean Aline, who's Pyroglyphic Studio. And also his work in the, he did the cover art, the pencils and inks for the Taking Wing one, where there's a little girl praying in front of this angel. Oh. So that's, but yeah, I did Phillipsburg, and I think I've done one con with the comic book. And I can't remember which one that is. I think I have. I know I've done like ones with this book. So that's probably the ones I'm remembering the best. But yeah, but PhillipsCon is all run by the kids. And it's just, it's a lot of fun. And also, you ain't paying for a table. Invite, and they feed you.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and not only that, they take your characters they actually draw stuff. Oh. So like I have stuff that like is Teddy Ninja by the kids, and like and they do swag too. They like did pins based on the different poster. Wow. So yeah, no, I love the idea that these young people came up with, you know, and I think like every think about it, like who wouldn't want to like what wouldn't be a draw to like keep going to your school or, you know, to be able to do this, you know, I pray that they found some way to do this year, you know, being hit right. by all this and having to go to school. But those kids are smart, you know, smarter, very creative. So they probably figured out a way. But that con was so much fun. They're, I know I'm going to talk about the food again. they had donuts, they had vegetables. So whether you wanted to go healthy or not, it was there for you. And then they were connected to this restaurant. I think you paid for that, but the cake the kids made, they made, I'm trying to remember the name of that. And Paul, you probably will be able to remember this title. It's a very large rabbit that's gray and has like two ears. And it's my friend something.
Oh, are you trying to say My Neighbor Totoro?
Yes, yes. So they made the kids made a cake that was like the rabbit, and it was delicious. All right. Yeah, so those are, I actually probably, my goal was to definitely do more cons with this now. And I was trying to figure out how I was going to work that, because I moved from Philly to be out here last year. So I was trying to like, kind of figure out the table setup and all that good stuff. Yeah. But yeah, yeah. So, yep. Those are the cons. Okay.
All right. Anything else you want to?
I don't really have any other questions.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to let you go. We do appreciate you coming on the show, and we hopefully we'll have you back at some point in the future.
Oh, yes, definitely. I would love that. In fact, I'll throw something in there. We are planning to drop the teaser trailer for the animation either on Halloween, which would love to be able to do that, or we're going to go for Thanksgiving, which is around the date when everybody is really online. So,
smart.
Would love them. Yep.
Okay. Hey. We'll be happy to, you know, we have a newsletter. We'll be happy to be mentioning in there if you want us to.
Thank you.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Swish. Yes. I would like that. I definitely would like that.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for being on the show.
If you're watching this on YouTube, like if you like this, subscribe if you want to see more, and ring that notification bell if you want to see exactly when these videos go up.
So until next time, I'm David Hankins.
And I'm Paul Hankins.
And you've been on the air with Power Squared. Thanks.
Thank you.